Okay, so today is our last shiur of the year, the last Lamdas and Lollipops of the year. I wanted to start off with a little bit of Divrei Chizuk, because it's the last opportunity. When the Torah talks about the Shalosh Regalim, the Torah says, this is Parshas Mishpatim, Perichav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Pasuk says, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, three times a year, Yeira'eh Kol Zichurcha, all males shall appear. This is talking about Aliyah L'Regel, being Olah L'Regel for the Yom Tovim. El Pnei Ha'adon, to the face of the Master. Then there's a line separating. Hashem. El Pnei Ha'adon, space, Hashem. Or, okay, a line in between. We find later on, Parshas Ki Sisa. This is Perek Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Lamed Dalid Chav Gimel, the Pasuk says, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, Yeira'e Kol Zechurcha Es Pnei Ha'adon, line, Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Three times a year, Yeira'e Kol Zechurcha, all your males shall appear, Es Pnei Ha'adon, to the face of the Master, Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And then we have it a third time. The third time is the end of Parshas Re'eh, Devarim Tezayin, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana Yeira'e Kol Zechurcha Es Pnei, and there's a line, Hashem Elokecha, B'Mokom Asher Yivchar, B'Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShu'os, Chag HaZukos, etc. So the kasha is, it seems as if we're saying, Pnei HaAdon, we're greeting the face of the Master, Hashem. If you would just say, Es Pnei HaAdon Hashem, the Master Hashem, I would say, the Master is like the title of Hashem, and that's his name. The title and then the name, Pnei HaAdon Hashem. But here it says, it's Pnei HaAdon, and then there's a pause. Hashem, or Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Hashem Elokecha. Why are we saying it two different times, seemingly? So, Rav Soloveitchik said the following beautiful idea. He said there's two types of people who are Olah Regel. Some people come to see Pnei HaAdon. They come for the Chavaya, the experience of this is where the action is. We come to Har HaBayis, or we come to be Olah L'Regel, and we see thousands upon thousands and thousands of thousands of people coming, and they're all coming with Karbanos. And if it's Sukkot's time, we're going to get to see the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and we're going to get to see the Nisuch HaMayim. Hopefully there won't be a Tzaduki Kohen Gadol, right? then we'll have to chuck our esrogim at him. But it's exciting, it's fun, it's where the action is. Can you imagine the, you know, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and you're sitting at home in Haifa? Like, there's nobody there, you probably won't even get a minion, you know? And Pesach, everybody comes with their carbon Pesach. It's exciting, it's where the action is, it's where everything is happening. It's where you have to be. You couldn't be caught dead not being there. You want to be there. It's an experience. But then there are the other people, says the Rav. There are the other people who are the, what we'll call the Hashem Elokei Yisrael people. What does that mean? It's the people who come, not for the experience, but they come to gain a kesher with the Ribono Shel Olam. They come to immerse themselves in the mitzvos of the Chag, to be uplifted by the Hakrovas HaKarbonos, by the singing and dancing that is the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the celebration, the juggling fire that the Gemara describes. For them, it's a time for spiritual growth and kirva le'elokus, closeness to Hashem. Now, bizman hazeh, we don't have, unfortunately, the chavaya. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we're left with some rubble, Temple Mount. We have Kotel Maravi, the Kotel. But that's really it. The Chavaya is not there. Okay, on Chol HaMoed, if you ever watch, or if you ever, you know, they have the Birchat Kohanim. They have a few rows, but probably thousands of Kohanim, or a lot of Kohanim, and then the whole Am, the nation. But even that's not even a formal thing. It's not like a have to. It's not like you have to bring a Karban Pesach. It's like they just decide that one day of Chol HaMoed we're going to make this really cool get together. But it's not a have to. It's not the chavaya. There's no chavaya, but there still is the kirva to Hashem. Not only when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to the Yomim Tovim, but that still exists throughout the year. How does that exist? So the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Brachos tells us, that now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ein lo laHakadosh Baruch Hu ela dalet amo shel halacha bilvad. Sounds like a nice statement. I want to make something very clear. We have Emunas Chachamim. Emunas Chachamim means we believe, this is one of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, one of the 48 ways to acquire Torah. We believe in our Chachamim. We believe that what Chazal say is true. So if we believe what they say is true, and they tell us that that's where Hashem is, in the Dalet Amos of Halacha, that means that that's where He is. That's where I can get a Kesher with Him. So the Rav says, when we are Osek in Limud HaTorah, not just, you know, reading is also good, but when we're ma'ayin, when we look into it, when we toil over it, when we work hard at a sugya, that's where the Ribono Shel Olam is. That's the second part of the pasuk, Hashem, Elokei Yisrael. It's not the Pnei Adon, we don't have the Chavaya, we don't have the experience of the Kohen Gadol coming out of, after he does the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim. We don't have that. But we do have Hashem there with us. He quotes, the sefer that brings this down is called Harari Kedem. So he quotes this idea from the Rav, and then he says another idea from Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, passed away a bunch of years ago. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. So he, and one of the leading Rosh Hashivas, so he writes a similar idea. We say during the Ila, Ha'ir HaKodesh V'Mechozos Hayu L'Cherpa Olovizos. Right? The holy, special city of Yerushalayim is Cherpan Vizos, it's destroyed, it's a disgrace. Ve'ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazos. And all we have left is the Torah. So he says the same idea. All we have left from the Chavaya, from the Beis HaMikdash b'Tifarto and its glory, is the Torah. Because we know the Gemara says that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a little town called Yavna was where the Sanhedrin was rejuvenated, and that's where Torah came from, and that's how we were able to continue on as a people. Because of the Torah, because we could still have that connection with Hashem, and that's our connection. The Gemara says that anybody, Kol HaMisabel al Yerushalayim, this is not quoted in the Sefer, but just to add, Kol HaMisabel al Yerushalayim, Zoche V'roa B'Simchasa B'Yishuasa, anyone who mourns over Yerushalayim, Zoche V'roa, he merits and he sees the joy and the Yeshua and the salvation. So Rav Chaim Friedlander was a mashkiach in the Panovich Yeshiva. Rav Chaim Friedlander was known by his svarim called the Sifsei Chaim. So he writes in there, he asks a question. Kol HaMisabel al Yerushalayim, if you mourn over Yerushalayim, it should say, Yizkeh V'yireh. Will merit in future tense. You okay? Yizkeh v'yireh. There are three left. Yizkeh v'yireh. He will. Yizkeh v'yireh in future tense. Why does the pasuk say zoche v'roa? Zoche v'roa sounds like, by the way, I thought somebody was for sure coming in. Yeah. I thought a fourth person was coming in. Oh, like, no. And then, But says Rav Chaim Friedlander, Zoche V'roa, why does it say it in the present tense, not in the future tense? The answer is, because what is Avelos on Yerushalayim? What do we lose by not having the Beis HaMikdash? We lose that close, intimate connection with Hashem on a daily basis. When we bring a karban, and there were open miracles happening in the Beis HaMikdash all the time, and we don't have that connection with Hashem. Somebody realizes that we don't have that connection with Hashem, guess what? He has the connection with Hashem. That's exactly the point. He has the connection with Hashem because he realizes that he lost it. Right? Just to bring back to our Gemara, we learned Elul Matzias this year. If a person loses an item and for 3 days cries over the lost item and then somebody walks up to him and says, hey buddy, I found your watch, you're very happy, you're excited. What happens if you dropped your watch and you don't even know that you lost it? When somebody comes to you and says, I think you lost your watch, you say, oh, this is my watch. I didn't even know I lost it. Are you upset? No, you were never upset. Are you happy that you got it back? Not any happier. That doesn't matter, because for you, there was no joy, because what was the difference? There was no moment that you didn't have it. So if you don't realize that you lost it, you're not so excited to get it back. But if we realize that we lost it, if we realize that we lost the connection to Hashem, then we're excited to get it back. The way that we get it back bizman hazeh is through liman haTorah. So, as the Rav said, there are two types of people. There are those who came week after week to Lamdas and Lollipops, and it speaks volumes of you, but understand that it's not just, you know, showing up to a, you know, to learn during lunch. It's so much greater than that. It's the learning that we did in this, specifically in this shir, the Lamdas, the working through a sugya, trying to understand, and some of the sugyas were sugyas that we were familiar with, and now we got to understand it on a little bit of a deeper level. We understand it better. We know what it's talking about now. Or we knew what it was talking about, now we understand what it's talking about. Or we can be maven davar mitoch davar, we can apply it to another situation. And that's what we did here. So these are the types of people that we're zochah to spend our Wednesday lunches with the people, not the pnei Hashem Elokecha, not the pnei ha'adon, the ones who came for the experience, or the lollipop, but the people who came for the Hashem Elokecha, for the connection to Hashem. That being said, I would like to talk about basically the meat and potatoes of what we learned this whole year, which is the concept of Yiyush, for some of us, for those of us in 7th and 8th grade. Okay, so somebody came to me a few days ago and asked the following question. Yiyush means to give up hope, okay? The halacha is, on a very basic level, and this is the opening mishnah in the second parak of Bava Metzia, if a person loses an item, okay, and you find it, you have an obligation, A, not to pretend you didn't find it, okay? You're not allowed to ignore it, pretend like you don't know that it's there. You have an obligation to pick it up and a mitzvah to return it. A mitzvah that everybody's familiar with, Hashavas Aveda. Okay, says the Mishnah, the first Mishnah teaches us that there are some things you don't have to return. Why don't you have to return them? So Rashi in the Mishnah explains, because of a concept called Yiyush. Yiyush means to give up hope. If a person gives up hope, then you can keep the item, you don't have to return it to them. And we spent a lot of time trying to figure out, well, how do you know that they didn't give up hope? How do we know that? Did they know that they lost it? Did they not know? How do I know? Are they planning on getting it back? Are they going to try to get it back? Is there a way for them to get it back? And that basically sums up what we did the entire year, in a nutshell. But the question was asked, the following situation. Reuven loses an item. Okay? Reuven loses an item. Reuven is miyayish. He gives up hope of ever finding the item. Then, the next step is, Reuven changes his mind. And he says, no, wait, I don't give up hope. Maybe I will find it. Or I have a reason to believe I'll get it back now. And then somebody picks it up. We're oversimplifying the case, because it's unclear how we would be able to know all this, unless we had Ruach HaKodesh, or, you know. But in our example, so at 9 a.m., Reuven loses the item, and he's miyayish. At 9:02, he's miyayish. At 9:10, he decides to change his mind, and then at 9:20, the item is found. So, what's the din? Do we say that he gave up hope, and therefore at 9:20, when Shimon found the item, he can keep it? Or do we say, no, he gave up hope, but then he retracted his yish, he took it back, and now it has to be returned to him. This question, which is dealt with by the Achronim, I answered, Tali's what I answered you, I said, it's a machlokas Rashi Tosus. So what I would like to do is to go through how it's a machlokas Rashi Tosus, and then offer, in the spirit of the Lumdas and Lollipops, we're going to perhaps offer an alternative reading of Rashi and Tosus that it's not really a machlokas Rashi and Tosus.
Well, yeah. Didn't we say in class that if I give up hope and then you find that, if Reuven gives up hope and then Shimon finds the item, and Shimon says, hey, did anyone lose this item? And Reuven, can't Shimon say, oh, look, it's Reuven's. He somehow knows it's Reuven's. Can't he give it back to him as a present?
That could always be. So we discussed the fact, but what happened? You could always give it back as a present, but there's two things. Number one is he obligated? Number two is, does he have a mitzvah, and does he get a mitzvah? After 120 years, Shimon's going to get up to Shemayim, and he's going to say, and they're going to look at that day, and he's going to say, hey, but I did the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And they're going to say, no, he was miyayish, so it belongs to you. I'll give you an example. You want to hear a great story? There's no way we're going to finish in time, but I'm going to tell you an amazing story. I'm going to tell you an amazing story. This has to do with tzedakah also, so it's a good one. there was a man who fainted. Great story, right? Great beginning to the story.
Oh, yeah.
The man fainted. Man in Eretz Yisrael fainted. They gave him some water, some whatever. They got him back together. What happened? He tells the story what happened. He was making a wedding. He had to marry off a child, and he didn't have money. So he went to America to raise money. He raised, I don't know the exact details, but he raised, let's call it $20,000. He had $20,000 in cash in a pouch, and he realized that he lost the pouch, and he fainted. Okay. This is the true story, the way it's told. Okay? He fainted. Hatzalah was called. Hatzalah comes. The Hatzalah member says, "You're not going to believe this, but I lost. But I was just walking down the street. I saw a pouch on the floor. I picked it up. It had $20,000 in it. True, meaning the guy wasn't making it up to make him feel better. He was, I found $20,000. It's exactly what you said. So obviously it's yours." And he gave it back to him. The story made its way to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, "It's a beautiful story, but guess what? The Hatzalah member owes $2,000 to Tzedakah." What? What in the world? Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Now, he has halachic reasons for this. I'm not going to get into it. But basically, al regel achas, he said, in the world of Hashavas Aveda, we know the halacha is, when it comes to money, the Gemara says people always check their pockets. Amar v'Yitzchak Adam Osir L'Mashmish B'Kisav called Shah. And therefore, since you always check your pockets, when it comes to money, if you find money on the floor, you get to keep it. Now, there were poskim who said, no, Bizman Azen, nowadays, people don't always check their pockets because they have dollar bills, not coins. It's a little different. Or maybe if it's a lot of money, people. But what did the Chazon Ish say? The Chazon Ish said, no. The Chachamim said, the Chachmei HaMesorah, the Gemara said, this is the halacha, people check their pockets, and therefore it's automatic yush, and it doesn't matter if it's a lot of money, little money, automatically he gave up hope. If he gave up hope, when the Hatzalah member found the money, was it his? Yes. He had a windfall. He got $20,000. Guess what? When you get $20,000, you know what you have to do? You have to give Meiser. Okay? So he had to give $2,000 to Meiser. Now you'll say, yeah, but he didn't keep the money, he returned it. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, but he wasn't doing Hashavas Aveda, because al pi halacha, it was his. Because al pi halacha, we paskin that the man had yish when he dropped the money. And therefore, when he gave him the $20,000, that was so nice of him, but that was a matana, that was a gift. It was an expensive gift. But it was a gift. He was in his right to keep it. And therefore, it was really his, and then he gave it as a gift. Because of that, he had to give $2,000 to tzedakah. I don't know the ending of the story. That's the way I heard the story. And we haven't yet started our sugya. We have about, yeah.
But the money was, if he found the money, his only intent was to return it to the guy.
No, when he picked it up, he didn't know what it was. If he had found out that, Lamashal, let's just use a mushal. This was in Bnei, let's assume this was Bnei Brak. Let's say he found out that it was an Arab. And he says, I don't want to return the money to an Arab. Let me go ask a Shaila. If the Rav says that I'm allowed to keep it, and I don't have to return it, so then I'm happy to keep it. He didn't know anything. He just found the pouch with $20,000. For all he knows, he's allowed to keep that. Meaning, you understand? He didn't know that it happens to be, he picks up the $20,000, he goes on the Hatzalah call, and the guy says, I lost $20,000. But he didn't know at the time, yeah.
But the Hatzalah person gave $20,000 to Tzedakah, because the person who came to America...
You say he has the din of an ani, and therefore the whole thing was given as Tzedakah. Oh. That's fascinating. You have to know if he really qualifies as an ani, but that's very interesting. I guess if he was $20,000 in debt that he needed to give, maybe he would become. I like it. Very clever. I like it. Okay, yeah.
What happens if at 9 o'clock, Ruvin is Miyayish, and then at 9:30, Shimon picks up the money, and at 10 o'clock, Ruvin decides that.
So that for sure is out. Because once the other person picks up, for sure it's gone. Let's go through. Okay, we have a whole source sheet. We're basically not going to get to any of the sources, but let's start. Okay? The first source is the opening Mishnah. We literally have like 8-9 minutes left. Okay. The first...
You can do this in
the first... The first Mar Makom is Bav Metziah Chaval Vam Ralph. That's the Mishnah. Elo Metziah Shalov Elo Chayv Lahachris. Some things when you find them you could keep them. Some things you have to return. And the first Mishnah goes through 10 items that you're allowed to keep. Says Rashi, why are you allowed to keep them? Rashi says Mishnah Elo Metziah. This is the second Mar Makom. It's Rashi. Matzah Peres Mefuzarin. You find scattered fruits. Nisyashu Habalim Mehen. The owner was Miyayish. That we know. That everybody agrees on. Kid the Amar B'Gemara, like the Gemara is going to explain. Says Rashi, and I bolded these words because this is the clincher, Shitas Rashi, the Hefker Hain. They are ownerless. In other words, how does Yiyush work? What is the mechanics of Yiyush? The mechanics of Yiyush is that when I give up hope, it means I am declaring the item ownerless. Why is the fact that I gave up hope mean that you can keep it? Rashi says, because I am relinquishing my ownership. Okay, again, who cares that you gave up hope? What does that have to do with anything? Why am I allowed to keep it because I found it after you gave up hope? The answer is, because the mechanics of Yiyush is, it's hefker. It's ownerless. When I find an ownerless item on the floor, am I allowed to keep it? Yes. When I find an item on the floor after Yiyush, it is hefker. Rashi says it is hefker. And Rashi says that again. And the Achronim talk about why Rashi said that two times in a row. Because Rashi says, Ma'us mefuzorish by scattered money, ho'ol ve'en lahem simon nicker. Since there's no recognizable simon on the money, ayushi miyayish, a person gives up hope, v'havi lahu hefker. And once again he says, and it becomes hefker. And then Rashi says, v'zehu tam kulam. And this is the same reason for all of the cases in the Mishnah. Awesome. Okay? All the other cases. So the question is, why didn't Rashi just do that the first time and say, v'zehu tam kulam? That is not for now, but that is a kasha that they ask on Rashi. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. First of all, we're going to see they disagree with Rashi in his Yesod, that it's because of Hefker, but others give that certain of the cases have different reasons why the Mishnah said that you're allowed to keep them. Okay. Lamaisa, Rashi says the same thing in Meseches Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin uses a lashon of Nistiyashti Miploni Avdi. A person loses an Eved, the Eved runs away, and if he gives up hope of ever having the Eved, so Rashi says, what does Nisiyashti mean? Rashi says it's Lashon Hefker. It's a Lashon of Hefker. Okay? The Gemara, Rashi also says it in right after the end of the, where the Gemara says that we paskin Yal Kegam, the end of the Yishalamida Sugya, the Gemara has a whole machlokes about the dates, the fall of the tree and blow away in the wind, how you're allowed to keep them, if it's Yish Shalomidas, and Yish Shalomidas, we paskin, is not Yish. So the Gemara says, no, since it's known that whenever they fall off the tree, bugs eat them, Shkatzim or Muslim, the Ka'achli Bahu Meikar, Yish Miyayish. It's as if the owner gives up hope from the outset that anything that falls off the tree is automatically Yish. And then the Gemara says, what if orphans own the item? Okay? And they're Lav B'nei Mechila. And Rashi says, Yasmi, orphans, Ketanim She'en Hefker and Hefker, who can't be Mafkir or something. So you see again, Rashi's using, the concept is that the original owner was Miyayish. The Gemara says, wait, what about Ketanim? And Rashi says, what about Ketanim who can't be Mafkir or something? Which means that he's using Hefker interchangeably with Yish. Okay. That's Shitas Rashi. There are those who say that actually our Rashi is not a foolproof raya. It's not an ironclad raya that Rashi holds the way he does. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky says that from our Gemara we could be matche, but that's why I brought to you the other Gemaras, the Gemara above Metziah Daf Chav Beis, the next daf, and then on Chav Zayin, I think Rashi says it again. Rashi says it in Gittin Lamites. So we have a bunch of places where Rashi says Yiyush is Hefker. The Achronim quote that Tosos disagrees. Tosos, the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Samach Vav, has a shaila by Yiyush, by when an object was stolen. Okay, Elu Metzias is talking about Yiyush when an object was lost. The Gemara in Bava Kama is talking about Yiyush when an object was stolen. Okay. The Gemara is mechalek that maybe came to be Isura Asa Liyade. The Gemara wants to know if Yiyush is Kona. Amir Rabbanan, Yiyush, Amir Rabbanan, the Nikni. I'm reading the Gemara at the bottom. Some say, the Rabbanan say that it was Kona. Mi Ulo Yadinan, I Daraisi, the Rabbanan. I don't know if it's Daraisa, the Rabbanan. If it's daraisa, if yish is kona, then it'll be just like motzi aveda, just like the same. It'll be the same thing. Since the owner had yish, then the other person gets it. Then the Gemara says, no, maybe there's a difference because by aveda, I didn't do, when I pick up the item, I'm not doing anything wrong. But when I, how did I get the item by yish by gzela? I stole it. That's how I got the item. So I did something wrong. So maybe there's a chiluk. So turning over the page, Tosus on that Gemara at the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Aleph says, "Kaven to be isura asili adei mikan mashma sheyish ein kehefker gamur. Yish is not like a total hefker. It's not like hefker." Okay. The simple understanding is that there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosus about whether yish is hefker or yish is not hefker. The way that the Achronim explain the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos is that Rashi learns that when a person is miyayish, he is basically declaring that his item is ownerless. Tosos says that it's not hefker. What do they mean? So the Achronim explain. The Ketzos says this, and the Siva says this. Chumash Akri is the brother of the Ketzos, says this as well, and that's at the bottom of the source sheet. We'll get to it in a moment. But they say that Tosos, this is what Tosos means. Tosos means the Torah gave us a concept called Yish. Once a person gives up hope, somebody else can get it. What does that mean? It means that there's a new halacha called Yish. It's not Hefker. Hefker is Hefker. It's similar to Hefker, but it's not the same thing. Yish means that when a person gives up hope, the Torah gives the person, the next person who comes along and finds the item, the right to acquire it. Meaning, it's not that the owner loses the item, just that somebody else can take it. What's the difference between Rashi and the way the Achronim explain Tosus? So let's look in the first, in the middle of the page here, the source is from the Truma Sakri, who's the brother of the Ketzos. So he writes, Vinista Pakti, I'm on the third line, end of the line. Vinista Pakti had the following suffix, Imahani Chazara Liyish Olo. Can you be chozer on your yish? That was a shaila we started with. You lost an item, you gave up hope. Now you change your mind. Can you change your mind? So says the Truma Sakri, Bevadei ladas Rashi, lefi anira midvarav, di yishu mitam hefker, lo mahani lechazara, kamod lo mahani chazara lehefker. Because what's the lumdus of hefker? It's not yours anymore. If it's not yours anymore, you can't say, I want it back. How would you get it back? You'd have to make a kinyan. You'd have to go pick the item up. It's not enough to say you want it. If there's an item over there, and I say I want it, you say you want it, neither of us have it. You have to pick it up and take it. You have to use it. So once you're mafki or something, it's not yours anymore. But if you learn like Tosfos, and he goes on, we're basically out of time. So if you learn like Tosfos, so then what would the halacha be? So the halacha would be, the Truma Sakri explains, the Torah gave somebody else the right to pick it up. But it's yours until he picks it up. So if you said, I'm miyayish, and then you said, I'm not miyayish, what's the din? The din is, you got it back before he picked it up. Yes? You got it back before he picked it up. So it's going to be a machlokas Rashi Tosos, the way the Achronim understand. Machlokas Rashi Tosos, in the case where you were chozer on your yish, you backtracked on your yish. According to Rashi, that it was Hefker, it's no longer yours. If it's no longer yours, you don't have the right to backtrack because it's not yours. Just like it's not the other person's, it's not yours. You have no connection to it other than you are the former owner. But that's it. And according to Tosfos, it's yours as long as nobody else picked it up. So if you backtrack before he picked it up, you can get it. Like you asked, if you didn't backtrack until after somebody found it, then everybody would agree that you have to keep it. That you can't get it, that it belongs to the person who found it. Now, I just want to give one more understanding. There's something that when you read the words of Tosos carefully, Tosos says, Mikan mashma, sheyush ein kehefker gamer. Yish is not like a complete hefker. If you want to be medayik from the words, well, you have to know when you can make the diak, when you can't. But a diak we can make in Tosos is, yish is not like hefker gamer. What does that mean? It means, it is like Hefker, but not completely like Hefker, but it's sort of like Hefker. So the Chazon Ish has a different way of understanding Tosus. The Chazon Ish understands, I'll read the words of the Chazon Ish, it's Simen Yud Ches in Bava Kama, Kavanosam Tosus, De Hefker Hu Ose Meritzono Hatov, why is Yirsh not like Hefker? So according to the way we originally understood, the reason it's not like Hefker is because Hefker means it's not yours, Yirsh means it is yours, but somebody has the right to claim it, which is, as we said, it's a little bit different, and the Nafkamina will be the case where you gave up and then you changed your mind. Chazon Ish says that's not the difference between Yirsh and Hefker. Really, Tosus learns, Yirsh ain't Hefker Gummer. It's not completely like Hefker. There's a difference between Yirsh and Hefker, but what's the difference? Kavanasam de Hefker hu osa me ritzono hatov, v'hu echad me ha'inyanim shahatora hishlita sabalam alma mono. Hefker is the right that the Torah gives to the owner of the money. He has the ability to declare it ownerless if he wishes to do so. I'm skipping a few lines. Aval yish hi hafka bal karcho neged ritzono. When you give up hope, you automatically lose the item. The Chazon Ish understands that both according to Rashi and according to Tosos, as soon as you give up hope, it's no longer yours. Tosos doesn't mean to say it's yours until somebody else claims it. No, it's not yours right away. Tosos means to say there's a difference between Yish and Hefker. They're not exactly the same. Hefker is something you have to make a choice. You have to decide that this item is going to be ownerless. Yish is not the same. Yish is automatic. If you're Miyayish, done. It's over. You are not the owner of the item. You have no choice about it. You have no say in the matter. And that's the difference between Hefker and Yish. So according to the Truma Sakri and the Ketzos and the Nesivis, Rov Achronim, the way they learn, the answer to the Shaila, can you retract your Yish? The answer is Machlokis Rashi Tosos. Rashi says you cannot retract because it's ownerless and it's not yours. You're not the owner to retract. And Tosos says, no, you can retract as long as nobody else picked it up. But according to the way the Chazon Ish understands Tosos, it's very possible that even according to Tosos, it's not yours immediately and you can't retract.